Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, Pastor Billy talks about unlocking the treasures that are waiting for you in the spiritual realm with this life-changing teaching titled, I Receive Now. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
I want to speak to you today about one of the subjects that Jesus was so serious about, and probably the main theme of his whole three-year ministry, and that is about your faith. Your faith in God, your faith in God's word, your faith in his promises, your faith in the prophecies that he has for you. Your faith is what makes whatever God has for you manifest out of the spiritual realm into the natural realm. Everything that we receive from God comes from another place. It comes from the kingdom that's without observation. It comes from an invisible realm, another dimension. And this other dimension is activated whenever you begin to have knowledge now, you begin to believe now, and you begin to receive now. The key word is now. Knowledge now, believe now, receive right now. This is what activates faith. This is what touches God. This is what unlocks the spiritual treasures that you so desire to have and to walk in. I'm reading out of the text here in John chapter 11 in the story of Lazarus. And in this story, this was Jesus' cousin. Jesus waited 4 days in another city to prepare to go raise his cousin from the dead. Some miracles take greater preparation than others. And this miracle, because he had never yet raised a dead person, was taking him some time to sit and get his heart in the right place and get the heart of the Father. It was a relative, so emotions were involved. And Jesus wanted to make sure that he was on the same page as Father God. As he showed up to where Lazarus was, he ran into Martha, he ran into Mary, and of course that dialogue began, and by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus now had been about 4 days dead. His body was now stinking. And it sure seemed like this is an impossible situation. It is over. Body in the tomb, body rotting, stone over the mouth of the tomb, people crying, people upset. I mean, this was a real aggravating, emotional, tumultuous situation. But when Jesus showed up, Martha came to him and greeted him and said, oh. And she said in verse 21 of chapter 11, she said, if you would have been here, you know, my brother would not have died. Of course, Jesus proceeded to tell her and say, you know, your brother will rise again. And she didn't get the message. And then she answered that in verse 24. And she said, yes, I know he will rise again at that last day when, of course, everybody rises again. And what we see here, and Jesus was not happy with either of these responses. He was coming to raise Lazarus right now. But when he ran into Martha, she said, here's my faith. I have faith for the past. And then when Jesus said, no, he's going to rise again, then she jumped on that and she said, okay, I know he will. He will rise again at the last day. Then she had faith for the future. In this story is the most graphic illustration in all of the Bible. Listen to me, all of the Bible, there's not a better graphic illustration of now faith than this particular story. Because it's so much easier to have faith for the past and faith for the future. And our real challenge is, do we have faith for right now? Faith for the past goes something like this. Well, I'll tell you what, if I was, you know, back in high school, I sure wouldn't be bullied around. I would tell those people what to do. Easy to say, because the past is never with you again. The past is never with you again. If I had to do all over again, I would have sold this house and bought 3 more. That's what I would do. That's great information, but that past is never with you again. The past, that's why they call it the past. But it's easy to look back and assume or think or believe you would have been like this or you would have chose that or you would have done that differently. and it makes you feel better at the moment, but the reality of it is what was, and that is the past. And that's what Martha was saying, if you would have been here, but he wasn't there, and that time moved on. And so it made her feel better that she said that, if you would have been here. And so we often get ourselves all stirred up, and we get ourselves emotionally, you know, reinforced by thinking, well, I'll tell you what, if I ever date another person again, it's going to be this way. And it just covers every category of life, marriage, dating, investing, where you went to college, the kind of car you bought. It does make you feel better, but it doesn't change anything. The past is the past. Then she switched over and she said, after he said, your brother will rise again, then she jumped over and said, oh yeah, he will in the future. And then again, that's where we always shift. We shift either in the past or we have faith for the future. I'll tell you what I'm going to do in the next 5 years. I'll tell you what, I am going to buy a cabin on a lake. I am going to have a boat. You know what I'm going to do in the next 10 years? You know, I'll tell you what, and my healing is coming. My money is coming. There's nothing wrong with those particular statements, but there's no faith in them. There's hope in them. That's hope talk, but that's not faith talk. Faith is always right now. And that's where Jesus was trying to get Martha. He was trying to get Martha out of the past and out of the future, because after she said, I know he will rise again on the last day, that's when Jesus said, Martha, I am, not will be, I am the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Martha was oblivious to what Jesus was trying to tell her. He was trying to tell her, I am here right now. I'm on a mission right now. I know it looks really, really bad, and it's easier to think in the future, but right now, today, just a few minutes from now, your brother's going to come walking out of that tomb. Woo! My, that was amazing. And it's amazing for you, my friend, my partner. Listen to me. It's amazing to bring everything into the now moment. I mean, this is what really rocks the world of your circumstances. This is what really plunders, you know, the demonic warfare and the lies that are coming against you right now. Your money, your marriage, your healing, your ministry, you know, your dreams. You know, it's important that you not just know now, not just that you believe now. It's important that you receive right now. What do you mean receive right now? I mean that once you ask Jesus for anything, once you must believe that you already have received it, maybe not in your hand and maybe not in your body and maybe not in your back pocket naturally, but you receive it by your faith. That's exactly what Jesus taught. You say, yeah, but he was teaching all through the Gospels about ask the Father in my name and ask this and ask that. He was teaching that, but remember, that's before he paid the price. Of course you ask before you pay the price. You know, you remember when you went to the store with your parents when you were younger and you said, can I have this? And dad, can I have that? Or mother, can I do this? You were asking, right? But after they paid at the cash register, it was yours. You took ownership. You took it. You didn't ask for it. You took it because what? It was paid for. Jesus paid for your sins. He paid for your sicknesses. He paid for your wealth. He paid for everything you so desire here in this life. And what he wants you to do is believe that he paid enough. He'll never shed another drop of blood. He'll never take another stripe. He'll never hang on another cross. He paid the full price of the ransom that we needed, and he paid it in his blood. It wasn't paid with money. Wasn't paid with empty promises. He paid for your situation, your cancer, your arthritis, your blindness, your deafness, you know, your broke status, you know, your wayward children, your drug-infested home. He paid for that. I want you to get excited today when you hear what I'm saying. It is paid for. You got to get it out of your mind that you got to keep paying. Something you have to do. Something. No, it's done. That's why Jesus screamed at Calvary, it is finished. So what he expects us to do, he said in Mark 11, 23 and 24, when you pray, when you ask, when you pray, and then you believe that you've received. It's right there. He didn't say hope that you have received. He didn't say begin to think that it's coming. He said when you pray, believe that you have received. Received when? Right when you pray. You say, whoo, boy, that is going to require a lot of faith. It's going to require real faith. It only takes a mustard seed of real faith. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It takes just a mustard seed. Just to begin to hear the instruction that's coming your way. I'm here to help you. I'm here to get you out of the past, and I'm here to get you out of the future. I'm here to get you into the reality of where you are right now. If you want what you want bad enough, you need to pay very close attention to these next few moments. They could be life-changing for you. It could get into your head. It could get into your emotions. And I hope to God it gets into your spirit. As a matter of fact, I believe that it will. If you have ears to hear, if you're wide open to make a few little changes in your thinking and in your confessions, there's no telling how fast you can accelerate that which you've been longing for days, for months, and yes, even for years. So what are you saying, Pastor Billy? I'm saying that once you've asked him to heal you, once you've asked him, you know, to open up a door, once you've asked him to, you know, save your whole family, bring your father out of alcoholism, once you've asked him and you've really asked him in faith, then Jesus wants you to begin to say, thank you, Lord. I receive the fact, I receive the truth that that is a done deal. It's happening right now. That touches God. Now, it may not touch your flesh. It may not touch the understanding of the people around you. They may think, well, no, you don't have it now because he still has to get healed. Thank you for the prayers. That's where most people live, is they just pray and pray and pray and ask the same thing over and over. How would you like that if someone's living with you and they keep asking you the same thing over and over and over and over and over, the next day and over and over? What's going to happen to you? You're going to begin to say, I've already told you, yes, I've already said yes. But see, because they don't see it in their hand immediately, they just keep asking and asking and asking, and they never move into another dimension of the prayer, another dimension of the faith walk. Understand what moves God, not your need, not your desire. That touches God's heart. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmity. But what moves the hand of God is your faith, not your hope, not your need. If your need would move the hand of God, there'd be nobody sick. There'd be nobody broke. There'd be nobody unhappy. God's waiting to be believed. He's waiting for you, his son, his daughter, to rise to another level and believe that you have already received. You can have knowledge now. You can believe now. And guess what? You can begin to say, I receive my healing today because I've already asked the Lord. I've already taken this promise out of the Word of God. I'm asking him, and now I'm saying, I believe I have received, even though it's not in your hand naturally, I've asked him for it. You mean, Pastor Billy, you're telling me not to keep asking for the same thing over and over and over again? Yeah, because it sounds like you don't believe you've received anything. It sounds like you're basing all of your receiving on it has to be in your hand. The money's got to be in your hand. The healing has got to be in your body. You know, you've got to have the evidence. And then see, if that's what you have to have, then it's not going to take you any faith to believe for it. And if you don't have any faith to believe for it, then you don't please him. See, this whole thing is not just about you receiving what you want. It's about pleasing God and letting God see that you are advancing in the realm, you know, that he's in, that spirit realm. That's where God lives. He lives in the invisible realm, the realm of faith, the kingdom of God without observation. That's where he lives. And he's trying to bring you into his world. You know, and if we go and visit him in his world, then we come back from that world with all of the souvenirs that that world has to offer. When you come back from Florida, you bring oranges. When you come back from Brazil, you bring coffee. You know, when you come back from some of the other places, you bring a postcard or some kind of a artifact that reflects where you were. And that's what it is when you visit this invisible realm. You come back with treasures of the unseen. You come back with things that make your life in the natural beautiful and wonderful until the day that you meet him and you too join that spiritual world. But that's for another time. And so we see that this asking is, I ask him to touch my body. Then you got to believe it. You don't want to become a broken record in the ears of God. You don't want to become a broken record in the ears of the angels that are watching and listening. You don't want that. You know, you want to pass this faith test. You say, yeah, but that's going to be such a challenge. Well, accept the challenge. Accept the challenge. Let me give you some helpful hints on this, because I can see where this would be a very unusual thing to ask of you if you're so used to just, you know, acting that way in the natural realm, you know, with your parents, with your boss, with your friends. You keep asking the same thing. Well, understand something. These people that you have to keep asking over and over and over again, they're not God. Now you're talking to God. You're not talking to your boss or your husband or your children or your neighbor or your church person, your friend at church. No. Sometimes those people do not get it. And I see where you have to ask them repeatedly. But don't confuse them with God. God hears really good. God is locked and loaded with more supply for you than what you can imagine. I mean, God has an unsearchable place of riches. It's called the unsearchable riches of Jesus. So God's not short on anything that you are asking for or wanting or desiring. He has an abundant supply. So never, never, never is supply the issue. Never, never is the fact that he don't hear you or see you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. No, God's listening. He wants you to pull on great benefits. He wants you to benefit from all that he suffered for. Oh, trust me when I say that. So you say, but if I've asked him once, what do I do? Just say, I believe I've received. Exactly. That's what you begin to say. You begin to say, I believe he heard me. I believe I've received already in my body, my healing. I've already received the money in my bank account. I've already received that new house. I just believe I've received. Now, if there's something you can continue to ask God for, it would be something like this. Lord, I ask you to show me any way that you want to manifest this different than what I see. That's a proper way to ask. You already believe you receive it, but now you can maybe move into asking, saying, Lord, how do you want to make this happen? Lord, I'm asking you to show me how you want the money to come. Lord, I'm asking you, how do you want this healing to take place? I mean, do you want me to have the surgery? Do you want me to go to visit this nutritionist? Do you want me to get the elders to pray for me? I've received my healing, but I'm asking you, Lord, how do you want this to manifest? How do you want this healing? That's a wonderful request. I've received it, but Lord, I'm asking you, how do you want this to appear in my body, appear in my bank account? You can ask the Lord to give you grace to obey something. Lord, I know what you want me to change. I know I need to change some things here and change. Lord, I'm asking you to give me the grace to make these changes so I can get my healing. I ask you to give me the grace, oh God, so I can make this thinking a little different or a lot different so that I can prosper beyond my age and my years. Lord, I'm asking you to give me that grace that you make abound towards us. I'm asking, that's a proper request, a proper asking. It doesn't mean you keep asking for the healing, but you're asking for the grace to show you anything that you would need to change. Ask him for the grace if there's a block somewhere. You know, sometimes we have a block and we don't even see it. There's something that you're saying that grieves the Holy Spirit. There's something that you're thinking that's grieving him. There's something in your lifestyle that's grieving him. It's so used to you, you know, because you just live it day in and day out. It's offensive to God, and you're not aware of it. So a proper request there would be to say, I thank you, Lord. I've received all the healing that I need. I'm receiving the strength into my body. I receive it right now. But, Lord, I'm asking you right now. It's been a few weeks. It's been 6 months. Lord, it's been over a year. I'm asking you to show me anything that's blocking this that I'm not aware of. Proper request. Beautiful thing to ask God for. Doesn't mean you ask him to continue to heal you because he already is. You know, you asked him that a year ago and he heard you. God isn't deaf. You know, his ear's there, his eyes are there, his hand isn't too short. But if you want to ask something, you could be, Lord, show me any block. Lord, show me anything I need to do to make any changes. Show me anything, God, that I'm not aware of on how you're working this out so it's going to manifest in a different way that I'm not aware of. Lord, help me trust you. There's a great request. Help me trust you, O Lord. Oh, I'm just having some issues with the trust factor. I believe I've received. Oh, I've received this healing in my body. I believe what you did on Calvary. I received your stripes. I receive it in my body. But Lord, I'm having a trust issue. How this is working out. Help me. Help me with this trust. You see, these are all proper things to ask for continually, but not the prize that you originally asked for. You want to ask for the prize. You want to ask for what was purchased. Healing was purchased. Salvation was purchased. Deliverance was purchased. But how it all carries out, blocks that need to be removed, trust that needs to be increased, proper ways and proper requests to go before God while you yet preserve the fact that you believe you've received right now. Take a look at one of the most famous verses in Luke 11 where Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Notice that. He doesn't say keep on asking, does he? He says ask and you'll receive. Then he moves on to seek and you shall find. And he don't even stay there. Then he moves quickly into knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Do you see the progression? Please, please, oh, my precious friend and brother and sister and partner, oh, please, I love you so much, but get this. Do you see the progression? Ask, he don't stop. Seek, he don't stop. Knock. It is so obvious here that he's saying ask, but then he's saying after you ask, what? He wants you to believe you have received. Then he starts saying seek. What's that mean? See, just what I went over with you. Lord, is there anything that I can do to remove the block? Is there anything that I'm doing that's grieving the Holy Spirit? Is there something I'm missing out here, a timing factor? Is there an instruction that I need to hear that you'd like me to carry out? Oh, Lord, that's the seeking part. And what's that knocking part? Oh, listen to this. I take it. When somebody's knocking at your door, I mean, that is probably one of the highest forms of intrusion besides breaking the door down that someone can do. It means I'm here. I'm here to be dealt with. Knocking means, Lord, I am so fired up. I receive it now. Oh, those words, when those words begin to come out of your mouth with any kind of conviction, remember, it's never what you say. It's never what you keep on saying. It's the conviction in what you say. I mean, it's the hot sauce in your words. It's the fire in your belly. It's something that is said that you don't have to say anything more to bring definition to it. I get it. Why do you get it? Because of the tone in which it comes out of your mouth. You know when someone is speaking in a tone that means they mean that. Whether that's a policeman, whether that's your school teacher, whether that's one of your creditors. You know, I mean, there's a lot of nice people that can say things that really have fire on them. And they say to you, we need this payment by. And you say, well, what's that mean? And then they make it very clear to you. Here's the penalty if you don't have the money here at this time. You know, if you don't get this surgery here, thus and so. If you don't get this car part fixed, here's what. And they say, they look at you and you say, yeah, but don't you think I can get another year out of this car? And they look at you and they have to say things in such a way that you get it. And what they're trying to say to you is, no, it will not last. It takes a while sometimes for things to penetrate, you know, from our head into our heart and until we get it. Don't ever think it's taking God a long time to do something. It's taking you a long time and me sometimes a long time to get what God is saying. God doesn't want to leave you remain suffering one more hour, one more day. He doesn't want you to be broke one more minute, one more nanosecond. But we, you know, our minds are cluttered, our lives are full, our plate is overloaded, and oftentimes it's just, you know, God is just sad to say one more voice in our life. One more voice it is, added to all the other voices. And that's really, really sad. And that's why on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus stood there bright and shining, white like raiment, here comes Moses and here comes Elijah. And here's Peter, who just tries to put Jesus on the same level as two prophets. Oh, God didn't like that. And Peter looked at all three of them and said, oh, I'm so glad you're all here. We need to build three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elijah and Jesus and one for you. What happened? What happened, child of God? What happened? Moses disappeared. Elijah disappeared. What happened? And Jesus was the only one standing there. What was he saying without using verbal words? He was saying to Peter, no, Peter, they're not on my level. They never will be. There's only one, Peter. It's me. Go. This is not about Moses. This is not about Elijah. This is about me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the resurrection and the life. It's all about me. See, it's so important that you, oh, my friend, please hear me today, that you move out of the past faith. We all look back and say this and that and the other. And so many people that I'm with in these crusades all over the world, what they're saying is, yeah, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. But your faith has to change. That's language that's common to the understanding. It's comfort to the thinking. It gives you a reason to understand and comprehend why it's not here yet. But this is not some letter in the mail. This is not some shirt that you ordered from China. This is not Federal Express or UPS. This is God and the kingdom and laws of faith we're talking about. And even though something isn't in your hand yet, God is saying, faith says it is. Did you hear what I just said? Even though the healing's not in your body yet in the natural, faith says it is. Even though you don't have the new car yet in the garage, faith says it is. Oh, this is way different than natural thinking. This has nothing to do with natural thinking. And that's why Jesus, going back to Mark 11, 23 and 24, that's why he said, when you pray, not when you pray and he said, and you wait a few weeks or a few years. No. He said, when you pray, when you ask, believe that you have received at the very moment. Probably right at the moment where you feel like, well, I don't have it. I'm just going to keep praying. It's like calling somebody and they don't answer, so you keep calling. That's just a natural inclination, a natural impulse. That's not the way this works. Once you pray, you know, you believe. If your flesh starts telling you or your mind starts telling you, well, keep asking, that's whenever your faith has to say, or your out of your mouth has to come these words, Lord, I know you've heard me. I know you're not, your ears aren't deaf and your hand isn't too short. I know you hear me when I pray. I've let my request be made known. Thank you, Lord. That's what Philippians 4:6 says. Pray, you know, believe, offer thanksgiving. Pray, supplicate, give thanksgiving. I mean, there again is a natural progression in Philippians 4:6. You know, don't worry about anything, he says, but in everything, you know, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Worry, don't worry. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. There's that progression again. Same as ask and seek and knock. It seems like it's all through the theme of the scriptures where Jesus says, I want you to get this. I've already paid for it. So if you pay for a car at the dealership, when you go down to pick up the car, do you say to that salesman, I'm going to pay for the car again? I don't think so. When you go to the grocery store and you check out and you give them a debit card or credit card and they give you a receipt and you put those bags in the cart, do you say, oh, I'm going to turn around and go pay for these? I don't think so. Something in you says, I have paid for these. The money is missing from my checkbook, from my bank account. I'm going to take what I paid for home. Same principle. Your healing has been paid for. Take it. Your prosperity has been paid for. Take it. Your calling, your assignment. Even though in the natural, pay attention, in the natural you may not know what God has for you to do, but I'm going to tell you this, in the spirit realm, it's already paid for. It's already on the drawing board of heaven. You want to please God? You want to please God? I'm not saying the people around you, they're going to think maybe you've lost your mind, but if you want to please God, then you begin to say, I have my assignment. I have my marching orders from God. And the people around you say, well, what is it? And say, by faith I have it. My mind hasn't hit my mind yet of understanding. It hasn't come into my heart yet all of what it is. But, oh, I just, by faith, I have it. Let people shake their head. Let them stay in a limited version of their Christian walk. Let them live on the other side of Jordan. But for you, you're penetrating into the promised land. You're going to kill giants. You're going to take the inheritance that God has for you. And that's above all things, that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. It is the keys to the kingdom. It is the promises of God that are yes and amen. It is putting your hand on the plow that God has designed for you since the day that you were born. Oh, my friend, I pray today. Begin with your mouth. The easiest thing I could say for you to do today, I receive right now. Just begin to say those words. I receive now. I'm moving into now. I have my new house now. I have my new car now. I have my back healing now. I have this cancer healing now. I have a family saved, sanctified, and in church now. I have a husband delivered off of alcohol now. Don't go by what you see. Go by what God says. Don't go by what you see. You'll be depressed your whole life. Go by what God says. He said he's delivered now. When you do what I'm asking and sharing with you to do, listen to what happens. You put pressure on the yoke. The object is never to put pressure on God. God cannot be pressured. But the more pressure you put on the yoke, the yoke will break. Did you hear what I said to you? The yoke will break. What puts pressure on the yoke? I receive now. I receive now. I receive it now. And I'm telling you, I don't know exactly the day, the hour, and the moment, but I will say this, you have just accelerated the process to breaking that yoke and receiving all the treasure that God has for you. Your healing is a treasure. Your marriage is a treasure. Your children a treasure. What God has for you to do in this life, oh my, a treasure. Receive your treasures today. Receive them right now. Father, bless the people and bless the ears that hear this. I pray that they would be so touched and so hungry that they would listen to this over and over, that they'd begin to practice it, think about it, and walk in it. And I pray that you would accelerate the treasures that you have for them. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I thank you, partner and friend, for listening to this message today. Again, this is found in John chapter 11, in the story of Lazarus, and yet it's all through the New Testament, all through the teachings of both Jesus and Paul and the disciples. Let's move into now faith. Let's believe that we're in a moment of now for personal revival, personal restoration. Don't let your flesh rule you by thinking it's a long way off. You know, it's way down the road, that you have a long way to go. Quit saying things like that. See, I am. I thank God for now. And begin to bring everything in that from that invisible realm into your natural realm. Faith it to see it and faith it to feel it. Faith it to have it. Don't faith it to faith it. That's a merry-go-round. Jump off the merry-go-round today. Quit riding different horses and thinking you're going somewhere. Jump off and begin to say, I am going to bring God into my now. I'm going to begin to believe at a level I've never thought possible. Thank you in Jesus' name. I mean thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. For any more information for all of our teachings and catalogs, for books, and anything that is happening with our new television program, Miracles Today, go to the website at billyburke.org. If you're in Toronto or all throughout Canada, go to touchingtoronto.com. Hope to see you again in a meeting somewhere or right back here on the social media or in one of these wonderful, wonderful teachings through CD or DVD. And until I see you again, God bless you. And remember, you're just one touch away from your miracle.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word healed. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.